Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome, ladies for Christ, Word Life Center, Midweek Prayer and Teaching Gathering. Our spiritual growth and development. Hallelujah. It is our sincere desire that you can hear the music that is playing. This is a new future we're trying to affect. Praise the Lord. So worship with me as we prepare our hearts and our sanctuary to worship and to glean from the Word of God. Hallelujah. 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 Before we get into our worship, we want to acknowledge all of those that participated in the prayer drive and the drive in the community. It was a phenomenal experience of taking the church to the streets. It was invigorating. It was very encouraging for us that were participating. And we do believe that the will of God was done, and so his word will not come back void, nor will our praises not bring the inhabitation of the Lord nearer to the place that we have been in. And so we thank God for your participation and just the spirit in which it was done. We are worshiping outside in the parking lot of the gated community, the promised land that God has granted to us on these Sundays, as long as the restriction is in place that we be socially distant. We will worship from our cars, and we will worship with our brown bag worship experience. You pick up the bag when you pull into the parking lot, and in that bag are the items that you need for worship. It will be your envelopes for your offering. A pen is in there. Alcohol pads are in there. You also have an information sheet with all of our announcements on them and all of the numbers that we can be reached at and the services that are available to you. We encourage you to pass it along. We'll have those available from Sunday to Sunday, but it is a wonderful handout to inform those that you come in contact with that church is being held on Sunday morning at 10:30 at 150 East 124th Place in your car. Service starts at 10:30, but we encourage you to get there early. The gates open at 9:45 so that you can get a good parking space. Praise the Lord. God has blessed us with amazing weather on Sundays, no matter what the broadcaster has broadcast. When we get there, it is gorgeous. And the sun and the sky just so crystal clear. And it is just such a beautiful worship environment. You can feel heaven looking down and God smiling upon us. There's absolutely no, under any circumstances, will you be allowed in the church building itself, and that's because of the restrictions that have been placed upon businesses and ministries. And so we ask you to come prepared. We encourage you to look at the map that you will have of the West Pullman area, because we're going to be using that map for our prayer drive and for our prayer strategy. Our focus is to be essential servants, conduits, and an open portal for the releasing of the resources of God into our new community. We are reservoirs of His love, His grace, His mercy, His hope, His kindness, and His healing, and life's necessities, physical as well as spiritual, emotionally and socially, and mentally. And so all things for all people in this sanctuary place. And so it's at this time that we will bring in our ambassadorial prophet, I believe, is going to come forth this evening as a sacrifice of praise. Thank you so much. Prophet, are you on the line?
I am on the line. Good evening, Blog Talk family. Good evening, Ladies of Christ family and friends, those who are joining us for this Blog Talk Hour. Just want to make sure that you can hear me well. We are excited to be a part of what God is doing. Again, good evening, Blog Talk family. We're excited that you are joining us from your various locations, from our Wednesday Spiritual Growth and Development, Biblical Training and Practical Growth. We will continue this week the conversation and dig and look more at the details of a transformational leader and transformational leadership. We pray that you are enjoying it as we are. We will excavate this word of God and take a look, continue to take a look at our three biblical transformational leaders, which we are excited to talk about. We believe that as we continue the conversation, we are transforming our homes, community, city, and nation through this concept of transformational leadership. Again, your participation is very important to the development of teachings and training. The expectations for you to participate, engage, ask questions, and then implement the teaching in your personal and public lives. We are excited about what God will download in our hearts today, and we believe that you will walk away this evening empowered, equipped, and encouraged to walk in your leadership identity. We are decreeing and declaring over you that the testimony about your life will be that of Acts 17:6 that says, "These that have turned the world upside down have now come here also." Amen. We are excited about what God's going to do in your life. So while we are preparing to read a scripture and pray, we encourage you to grab your Bible, grab a pen, your journal, and let's begin to scribe what we are hearing the Lord say as we share and continue to maturate as a community and believe in God for new momentum, fresh manifestation, and unrevealed miracles and mantles to be released over your life individually and collectively. Matthew 6:33-34 says, "So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from Him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Refuse to worry tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for having this opportunity, for having this space, for having this moment where we could dialogue and be changed and transformed through your teaching. I thank you for each transformational leader that is a part of this conversation today, that is a part of this expanding community. And I thank you for doing new things inside of their lives. I decree and declare the miraculous power of God to fall on their homes, to fall on their situation. And I pray that you will continue to do for them exceedingly, abundantly, above all that they could ever ask, think, dream, or even imagine. I pray for individuals who are affected by this time, this COVID-19, the virus, but also pray for those who are having that hard time to adjust to this normal. I pray that you will continue to bless them and you will go before them and make crooked paths straight and rough places smooth. I encourage them with the word of God that says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it is the Lord who delivers them out of them all. Your word declared that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Your word declares that all things will work together for our good, and we thank you that we have this confidence in the word of God, who's the one all in eternal that existed in the beginning and will still be here in the end. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, we've been download and talking about this transformational leader concept, and we've been looking at the life of our transformational leaders, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. We talked about on last week how you can find their stories in Luke 10, 38, 40 through 42, John 11, and then John 12, 1 through 11. And this word was kind of birthed out of a prophetic declaration that the Lord gave us towards the beginning of this year, just about how he wants to raise up these transformational leaders. And within this prophetic word, he was very specific in detail about what was happening in their lives. And so, again, we're going to read that word, and we pray that you will receive it as the word of the Lord for your life, that you will find yourself in the lens of this prophetic word, and then you will be challenged to allow these words to transform you so that you cannot just hear this word, but you will become this word. The Bible said that in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, but that word became flesh and dwelt among men. And so our prayer is that as you hear this word that existed in the beginning, we pray that that word would take root, it would take flesh in your life, and you would begin to live out this prophetic word. So the word of the Lord says, God is raising up transformational leaders that will close the generational gap. They will emerge the generation to one nation that will praise the name of the Lord. These thought leaders, world changers, are anointed with innovation and creativity. They have specific assignments from heaven resting in the womb of their spirit that will be brought forth this decade. They will introduce this world to new things they have not yet seen and bring the will of God to the earth. God has made covenant with these leaders to bless and multiply them. He will reveal the mysteries of his will that will lead them to his eternal promises. These transformational leaders have nations in them, and they will give birth to kings and holy people who will declare the word of the Lord. These transformational leaders will advance the kingdom and expand the borders of the gospel message. They will lead in the head of their class, and their shoulders rest above all others. God has given them multiple assignments, and they are carrying greatness on the inside of them. God has declared that they are history makers and serve as agents of transformation that will change the trajectory of a city, community, culture, state, and nation. They have a prophetic ability to shift times and seasons. They carry an Elijah mantle where God has given them the authority to shift a season of drought to a season of rain. They carry a Noah's mandate and possess a new generation on the inside of them. They are friends of God like Moses, who God speaks to them face to face, and they have a prophetic mandate to change this world for Jesus Christ. They are innovators, history makers, world changers, and kingdom mouthpieces that are not chasing the American dream because God has given them a dream for America. They are being raised up behind the scenes until God will shine a light on their assignment and give them a public display. Amen. Whew, amen. I just always get excited when I read that word, and I pray that you feel that word as well and it resonates within your heart. So we talked about these transformational leaders, and we've given them somewhat of an identity. We talked about Martha being this purpose-driven leader. We talked about Mary being the purpose, Mary being the person-driven leader, and Lazarus being the people-driven leader. And we gave a description just really based out of their leadership style. And one of the things that we constantly want to point out is how all of these leaders equipped, all these leaders were equipped and serve under one house. And I believe that is very important when we talk about the big picture of the body of Christ. For the Bible has declared that we are many gifts, many administrations, but there is one Spirit. And one of the things that we want to glean or learn from these transformational leaders is understanding how God has appointed them under one house and how they are all gifted and anointed to serve in their leadership style, that they are all about carrying out the vision, and that vision would be what God has downloaded in the hearts of our leaders. Some of the points that we talked about on last week, to just continue to remember, we said that transformational leaders operate out of the new thing that God is doing. And so we'll write that down again. Transformational leaders operate out of the new thing that God is doing. And we got that point from Mary and Martha's story in Luke 10 and 38. We identified that Mary was on the cutting edge of something new. When Jesus was in the disciples' house after his journey, and when he came into the village and he was welcome into the home of Martha, because it was Martha's home, we understood that what Mary did was she did something cutting edge. She entered into the place where she was sitting at Jesus' feet. And so we understand that when we talk about culture, when we talk about men being in one place and women being in another place. And so Martha was in the culture of the day. She was serving. She was working. She was preparing. We talked about how Martha has this spirit of excellence and how she is about getting the work done. She is driven to be part of protocol, and she was in her protocol lane, making sure that when the guests arrived at their house that they were comfortable and that everything was in excellence. We talked about how Martha is that strong will kind of person. But then we look at Mary. Mary was on this cutting edge. She was on something new that was going to be futuristic. And so she was not only preparing for her now, but she was preparing for a new thing to come, because it would be the same Mary who will then anoint the feet of Jesus, release this precious oil over his life. And so Mary was on this cutting edge of leaders operating out of a new thing that God is doing, even giving us a new glimpse of what worship will look like and how worship will be elevated to its next day. And then we said transformational leaders have an eternal focus on the inside of them. So the Bible said in Luke 10:38, Jesus said that Mary was undistracted out of the Passion Version. He said he would not take that privilege from her, that she had discovered what was really important. And even though Martha was definitely in her lane, even though Martha was operating out of her gift, out of her anointing, out of her calling, out of the understanding, the tradition, and the culture of that day, and it was very important, Mary had also discovered an eternal word. And so transformational leaders have this eternal focus on the inside of them. Sometimes you don't even realize it. Sometimes you're operating out of it and you don't even quite understand it. It's confusing for you. You're trying to figure out what's happening. That's because it's this eternal focus that is locked up on the inside of you, and it comes. And that was what made Mary look at, excuse me, that is what made Martha look at Mary. But we've excavated and talked about this conversation, how she replied, are you just going to let us sit here? Don't you see I need help? And so Martha was in her lane, but also Mary was in hers. She understood. She did not yet understand this eternal focus that was living on the inside of Mary. And then we said transformational leaders have a kingdom mindset. And so Mary was very focused on this kingdom mindset. She wanted what was happening. She was absorbing, according to the Passion Version, she was absorbing the revelation that Jesus, that she was absorbing every revelation he shared. Just kind of let that sink in for a minute. It says that she was absorbing every revelation that he shared. And so I'm excited that that is what transformational leaders do. We absorb the revelation that is being shared. We have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. We are allowing the download of God to take root in our lives and giving it space to be uploaded so that others can be changed and transformed and healed by what is happening. And so when we continue to look at their story and continue to look at this Luke 10:38-42, and we will go to John 11, and in John 11, we're just going to kind of focus on Lazarus for a moment. But I also wanted to point out or continue the conversation about how Martha didn't feel what was happening was unfair. The Passion Version says that she was this was unfair. And I just want us to kind of linger there for a few seconds and get your thoughts and conversation behind that, because for a lot of us, we are in our leadership. We are in leadership. We are a leader. We're in leadership, and sometimes ministry just don't feel unfair. Sometimes it just don't seem like God is playing the cards right. It just does not feel like what is happening is correct. And so I want us to kind of take a moment and let's just linger in that conversation. Is there someone who feels that way? And how does that give me a little description? Or what do you do when you are in this place where it feels like ministry is unfair? How do you move forward? How do you not get stuck? How did Martha not get stuck? If we see this in Scripture, what was it that got Martha unstuck so she wouldn't stay in that place of feeling like it was unfair? So I think your phone is off mute, and so anyone would like to join in that conversation, you may do so at this time.
Prophet,
yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, ministry can look one-sided, depending on what side of the fence you're standing on, it's that grass is greener kind of thing. It can look one-sided. However, what God is doing with one person is because of the call of God on their life, and their call is not your call. So, you know, it was in learning pretty early on that others can do stuff that you can't do, and it's all about who God called you to be, and you have to be okay with that. And making sure that you're not putting yourself in a place of judgment toward the other person because you at some point you become an enemy to God because of how you end up praying against them as opposed to praying for them, that kind of thing. And you put yourself in a dangerous place when you put yourself at odds with God. And it was only in talking to him and being annoyed with him at the same time about, you know, any number of things that he was able to show it to me. And I purposed that I wasn't going to stop talking to him because, you know, we get mad at people and we're done with them. We wash our hands. But he's God. You know, you can be angry. You can be angry at God, and he's still not going to turn his back on you. And then, in fact, it's purposeful for all of us that we're able to continue talking to God even when we're angry, because it's only in that conversation that things are going to be worked out. Even in our personal relationships, you know, sometimes we have to leave it alone and address it again, but to resolve these issues, we have to come to a place of forgiveness, you know, either for ourselves or because sometimes you're in there. You never have an end to some things with people, but you have to resolve in yourself that you're going to forgive because if you don't, God won't forgive you. I mean, there's so the totality of the Word of God is at play in our lives, and we just sometimes don't see how this whole scroll is lining up in our life, but it's a daily thing. It's very much a daily thing. And then he walks us through that. I look back and I say, I don't know how God doesn't get annoyed with me and just wash his hands, you know, but it's in him not giving up on me. And even when I'm annoyed at him and I'm going, I don't see that, you know, that he can explain it to me. And sometimes he don't even explain it to me. He'll just walk me through it, you know. So, you know, like lessons like this, in the past, if God brought up a subject, I knew that he was about to walk me through it, and I was about to get on-the-job training from these lessons. And I started to look at it just such, and it became a transformational thing that, you know, I allow the teachings and the Word of God to wash me, like it says, being washed in the Word of God. I allowed it to cleanse me when it came. Didn't feel good, none of that. But at the end of it, I was always pleasantly pleased that I went through the experience. That's all. That was a lot.
No, amen. Well, thank you. No, thank you for sharing. I appreciate that. Anyone else, as we linger at this before we move on, about how Martha looked at the transformational leader, Mary, and what she was doing and her conversation with Christ was, don't you see that it is unfair that my sister had left me to do all the work? Hello? Okay. Someone's going to say something.
So this is Overseer. I just think that when you read the declaration and all of the detail and the newness in what is to identify a transformational leader, then it makes the whole picture of each one of those individuals look a little different. Because then I start to realize what did their ministry lead to, and what new thing was being developed in the earth. And so I look at Martha as being a women's lib type trailblazer, because women weren't very vocal in the church and in church functions and just a religious activity. You know, they took a back seat, if you will, or a seat of silence. And yet what she did was very much a new thing. She not only did it, she did it to the Son of God. And so she didn't go to Peter, Paul, she went straight to the head. And in that liberty of being free as women to do ministry as equals with men. Maybe that's what I'm getting to. So that was the kind of a path that she blazed for women. Women to be the provider, to be the not the head, but what do you want to call it? They ran the household, I'll put it that way. They ran the household. And generally, in those times, that was definitely a man's place. And so so just viewing her in light of the elements and the declaration and prophetic word that was given to laborers causes me to then look past from where they were. And that gives it a whole different perspective for me. That's it.
Amen. Thank you, Overseer. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing. I definitely agree that Martha is what we would consider that trailblazer. She definitely paved the way. I believe all three of them operated out of this kind of this trailblazing gifting. Even from Lazarus, as we'll just tie that in, is one who trailblazed and came back from the dead and began to continue to allow ministry to operate. So let's look at that. Let's look at John the 11th chapter, and let's begin to look at Lazarus' story. It is a very familiar passage. It is definitely the resurrection of Lazarus. And we do want to just kind of take a look at towards the end of his story, and let's begin to have conversation centered around that as well, and see how Lazarus, in the lens of our prophetic declaration, and then also in the lens of his description, how he operated out of his transformational leadership, and what it even took, the process for him to get to the place that he is. And I think that that is even exciting for us as we're kind of jumping ahead, but we definitely want to look at the concept of how transformational leadership is a process. It is a process for each and every one of us that but as we are developing to become these innovators, these history makers, these world changers. God is sanctifying our mouths so that we have a kingdom language. And as we look, we are chasing what he has placed in our hearts. We're going after, according to Matthew 6, the realm of God's kingdom and his righteousness that precedes him. And when we look at transformational leadership, we want to keep it within the lens of we are these love-struck warriors who are chasing after him, and how that leadership style looks and how we play that gifting out in the earth. The main object is to continue to chase after the realm of God and to understand his timing, his plan, and purpose for our lives. So John 11, we know the story. It opened up with Jesus being delayed, what appeared to be a delay in the eyes of both Mary, Martha, and I'm sure at Lazarus as well. But it looks like a denial, because Jesus purposely stayed away for 4 days. And so both Mary and Martha acknowledged that if he would have been here, he would have acted. Lazarus would not be in this dead situation. And as we continue to talk about the conversation, Jesus makes reference to a fact that he was glad that he wasn't there. He understood that in Lazarus' process, God was getting glory out of his life. God was and is would get glory out of his life. And that is just something for us to be encouraged by as transformational leaders. Understand that your process is bringing glory, and your process will bring glory to God. And so right around verse 32, the scripture says, when Mary finally found Jesus outside the village, once again she fell at his feet in tears and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have died. When Jesus looked at Mary and saw her weeping at his feet, and all her friends who were there with her grieving, he shuddered with emotion and was deeply moved with tenderness and compassion. And then he said to them, where did you bury him? And so now we are identifying that God knows our prophetic zip code. And so I want us to look at each transformational leader. God understands your prophetic zip code. He knows exactly where you are. He understands the moment and the situation that you're in. And then the Lord said, they said, Lord, come with us and we will show you, they replied. Then verse 35 and the Passion Version says, then tears streamed down Jesus' face. Verse 36 says, seeing Jesus weep, because many of the mourners to say, look how much he loved Lazarus. Yet others said, isn't this the one who opened blind eyes? Why didn't he do something to keep Lazarus from dying? And then verse 38, then Jesus with intense emotions came to the tomb, a cave with a stone placed over his entrance. Jesus told them to roll away the stone. It continues to say, then Martha said, but Lord, it's been 4 days since he died. By now, his body is already decomposing. Jesus looked at her and said, didn't I tell you that if you believe in me, you will see God unveil his power? Verse 41, then they rolled away the heavy stone. Jesus gazed into heaven and said, Father, thank you that you have heard my prayer, for you listen to every word I speak now, so that these who stand here with me will believe that you have sent me to the earth as your messenger. I will use the power you have given me. Then with a loud voice, Jesus shouted with authority, Lazarus, come out of the tomb. Then in front of everyone, Lazarus, who had died 4 days earlier, slowly hopped out. He still had grave clothes tightly wrapped around his hands and feet and covering his face, Jesus said to them, unwrap him and let him loose. From that day forward, many of those who had come to visit Mary believed in him, for they had seen with their eyes this amazing miracle. But a few went back to inform the Pharisees about what Jesus had done. So now we are looking at Lazarus through his lens, through his transformational process. And I don't care how many times you read the Lazarus story, it's just a good story. It is an amazing story. We talked about how Lazarus is that miraculous leader, Lazarus' transformational process was birthed out of a death process. And I think it's safe to say, even based upon our point, we see how Lazarus is now operating out of a new thing that God is doing. When we look at the process of the story, one of the things that Mary and Martha both identified was that they knew that he was a healer, but what they had not experienced was resurrection. And so though they knew him as a transformational leader through the lens of healing, they are now having the revelation of knowing him through the lens of resurrection. And one of the things that God said about these transformational leaders, they operate like Moses. God speaks to them face to face. And I want us to see that in this story, how Mary and Martha had this relationship where they were face to face with Jesus, and even Lazarus had this face to face relationship, to the point that Jesus acknowledged in the presence of all that the Father was about to unveil his power, that in this moment, that something they had never seen, they were about to see. And the scripture, or I'm sorry, the prophetic declaration is that these transformational leaders are history makers. They will change the trajectory of a city, a community, and a culture. Imagine how that city was changed. Imagine how the culture of that day was transformed by Lazarus, who had been evident dead, according to Martha's testimony, decomposing in a rolled away tomb, counted dead, weeping over his process, but yet Christ is about to do something new. He is about to close a generational gap. He is about to expand the border of a gospel message. And now we're about to see Lazarus be transformed in front of the people. And so we talked about this whole Lazarus transformation. One thing that we can glean from Lazarus' process is his process was all about public exposure. Here it is, Lazarus coming out dead. His stuff is on display. The scripture says he's decomposed. He stinks. He comes out of a tomb. He comes out wobbling. I like how the Passion Version says he comes out hopping, wobbling. He needs assistance. He needs the help of others to loose him. He needs the help of others standing around him to unwrap him, not only to just unwrap him, but also to let him go, to allow him to function as God has ordained and anointed him. The scripture said that they had to uncover his face. They had to uncover his hands. They had to uncover his feet. And even while Lazarus, and it says that it was a close, tight, you know, it was a tight wrap around him. And even as they were unwrapping him and unloosing him, watching him go through his transformational process, God was raising Lazarus up. And so I do want to bring comfort to those transformational leaders who can identify with Lazarus' process. Can identify that you didn't have it perfect. You know, you didn't always come to the table correct. There's this slow hobble that's still inside of you. God had to unwrap you in front of the people. He, whether expose your sin, put your sin on display, made you put your sin on display, whether you were counted dead, decomposed, out, yet you are a transformational leader. You will come in, whether it's the 11th hour, the end of the hour, and God is going to use you, and God is going to move miraculous through your process. God is going to get glory, what appears to be out of your dead story. God is going to take it and raise it up. God's going to use the mission and the mandate that's on your life, and God is going to reveal to you the mystery of his will. You know, part of what they said when we look at the story, when we go back up, they said, could not he healed him? Wasn't this the man who opened blind eyes? Why didn't he do something for Lazarus? Why didn't he heal him? Because resurrection was greater than healing. And so getting to that place where he can receive this greater work, one of the things that Apostle Shanette taught us is, nevertheless, you know, in Lazarus' situation, healing would have been less because resurrection was his greater. And transformational leaders have to understand that their life is always looked through the lens of greater, that God has a greater work for you. Part of the prophetic declaration for these leaders says that God has given them multiple assignments and they are carrying greatness on the inside of them. Well, healing was okay, but resurrection was Lazarus' greatness that was released on the inside of him. And now he can live out of that great place. He can live through that lens of being a agent of change, being a servant, a transformational leader of hope, and allowing God to shift his season. Look at Lazarus' season shifted right before our eyes. 4 days later, counted dead. 4 days later, counted out. And within this four-day time period, Lazarus' season shifted. Completely shifted, and that is part of our prophetic declaration. It says that they have been given this mandate to shift the season of drought to a season of rain. At one point, Mary and Martha was weeping over this leader. They were disturbed over this leader, and now they are rejoicing because within this time frame, we could either call it a 24 or 4 days later, God completely shifted the trajectory of Lazarus' life, which allowed the culture and the city which God had ordained for Lazarus to be in to be transformed as well. So I've did a lot of talking. Let me hear your thoughts. What do you think about Lazarus process as God was transforming him right in front of the eyes of the individuals that he was doing leadership with, the people he was just in the same house with, those who were mourning over him, and now they have to embrace this kind of change that God has displayed in front of them as relates to Lazarus' process. Anybody?
The message version of the Bible says that in verse 45 that the man who created God's sign, meaning Jesus, they were still looking at this man and pondering him, and what he was about to do with Lazarus was going to change the trajectory of their life. They would believe in a new light, is what it says. The Jews were that were with Mary, they saw what Jesus did and believed in him, but some went back and went back to the Pharisees and told. And then even the high priest at that point prophesied that one man would die so that that many could live. And he was really talking about what he was talking about was plotting to kill Jesus, but, you know, sparing the life of the disciples around him, you know, so that they would stop, you know, stop doing what they were doing and believing in Jesus and walking with him and being his disciple. But he really was prophesying the scriptures that was foretelling Jesus' death and his resurrection. He didn't know, you know, he didn't know, or he didn't believe, one, that Jesus was the Christ that they were talking about, because had he understood that, you know, then they wouldn't have plotted the way they did. However, the greater work was going to come from Jesus' death, and it had to go that way. You know, so his the man who created the God sign, you know, was they looked at him as a threat. They looked at him as a threat to their position. In other words, so he would be taking their position and opening, making them vulnerable, basically. You know, to whatever was happening in that day with other sets of people that were on the planet at that time. So what he was doing with Lazarus was going to seal the belief of many people until the time that Christ passed, that Christ was killed and was resurrected, and further sealed the belief of some people. And it really didn't matter to his disciples at that point. Once Jesus rose, it didn't matter what they did to them. They were sealed at that point. There was no way you were going to take that belief away from them at that point. They had walked through it and seen some things, and it wasn't any way that they were going to believe differently. So Lazarus' death was a sealing point for some people. You know, and it was an enabling thing too for those who were seeing all of this happen. It was an enabling thing for them also that they actually could walk through what was about to come. What was about to come, that they could get through it. That's all that I saw.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for you know, looking. Going, you know, looking ahead and seeing how Lazarus' process plays a part in the future. That's what I heard you say. And I think that that is so very important even for us when we look at sometimes we don't understand what's going on with us as transformational leaders. We don't understand how our present is going to have a very, our present is going to play a part in the future, or even understand how our process is very important to what is to come. You know, the scripture said that there is a generation that has yet been created that will praise the name of the Lord. So a generation to come. And then anyone else? I guess it's me and you today, Evangelist Katie. Anyone else? Who's out there that want to add to the conversation? Let me hear what you got to say.
Well, I took it personally. This Pastor Rogers, and I'm always taking stuff personally. And I was looking at the leadership three working together, and I started off thinking I was Martha, but as we keep listening to, you know, getting the new process of growing, I see myself as Lazarus, because I'm wrapped up, and, you know, all three of them had faith, and they believed that Jesus was the Son of God. However, they had to grow through this process, and I see myself I was all wrapped up, and as you said, he was coming out the grave, stumbling and wobbling. But I met Martha over there at Labor's, and I'm being unwrapped. And when you be unwrapped, you got a new thing coming, because now that you're being unwrapped, you don't have no fear about what it is that when you know when you've been dead, and you come back to life, you don't have no I can say no fear about what people think about you. So you'll be focused on what it is, whatever it is that you're going to do. Once you get freed and you loosed from all of this over your head, this covering that was all over you, keeping you bound, once you get, and I said I'm taking it personal, once you get unwrapped, you're ready to do whatever God say do, and you'll be in your own lane. And when Martha come and tell you something that needs to be done, you'll help. You can, you know, you don't have to come out your lane unless somebody requests you to do something. It's just like if you're driving on the freeway and somebody come flying behind you, you move over. You know, sometimes there's a time that you have to go in the direction of leadership, even where Mary and Martha, I put it, when Jesus told them to come and watch, this was going to be a new thing. So they left that position where they was weeping, and they came to the gravesite to find something new. So in leadership, we would have to sometimes, we'll just go with Mary. If Mary is the one that's focused and she needs someone else to do something, then you may have to come out your lane and do whatever it is that's being done. And I looked at that as being unwrapped, being delivered to do what it is that God wants you to do. Maybe I'm getting a little deeper because I hear as the team, as all three of them working together, they were all coming closer to God. God was bringing them all closer to him, where their leadership would still be following Christ. Whatever he had them to see or do, they would stay more focused on him, knowing that he was the resurrection. So he's proven himself that he is what they always thought him to be, was the Son of God. Now when they see this, they're going to know he's the Son of God. Did anybody feel what I felt?
No, thank you. No, Pastor Rodgers, thank you for keeping the three together. I mean, I like that you keep the three within the same lens and keep them in the same house. And I think that's definitely the concept that we want us to keep before us, how all three are in operation in that same place and is used differently, but yet same to accomplish.
And you'll be grateful.
Yes.
You'll be grateful for Martha, you know, for getting the job done. I'm just grateful.
Amen.
Another thing, Prophet, was the three of them had to have heard Jesus' name mentioned over and over because of everything that he had already done. There's not one among us that if we had the opportunity to sit with Jesus and talk and ask him all the questions we needed to ask him or wanted to ask him, wouldn't do exactly what Martha did. We would all drop what we're doing and go and sit at his feet. You know, the Lord told me, and I've said this many a times, when I came to LSC, I didn't know what God was up to or what he was doing. I knew I needed a transformation. I knew I needed something else. But by the time I came to the first retreat, And then subsequently after that retreat, I came to the ministry, you know, just out of trust for my godparents. I had no idea that it would lead to this long-lasting relationship. I was just a visitor at that time. I was a willing pair of hands. I was, you know, all of these things. But, you know, in the process of being there, the Lord said, I need you to sit at this woman of God's feet and learn of me. You know, so that was my Martha experience in coming to LFC, to sit and to learn about who he was and build this relationship over these years with him, you know, that's given me this close walk with him at this point that, you know, where I am right now, I say nothing, you know, nothing will change my mind about my relationship with the Lord. Even if I don't understand, you know, there's nothing going to change my mind about who he is and who he has been to me, and the three of them having built that type of relationship with him, because we can tell, because the scripture said Lazarus was, you know, the one that you love, and then him weeping at the graveside when he got there. He knew what was going to happen when he got to the graveside. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus up, but yet he still loved that man so much that he wept at the graveside before he performed the miracle in the sight of all these people. And then he full well understood, too, that when he did that, that it was going to trigger some other things to happen. And so he went into hiding for a little while after that. But, you know, that's how much God loves us, is that he does what he has to do, no matter what the consequence is to himself, to get his point across to little old me. He does what he needs to do to get his point across. He knew that I would believe because I had seen some things. He knew that I would believe on some other things, even though I hadn't seen it, you know, and all three of them were those type of people. You know, one had to sit at his feet and get it firsthand. The other one didn't have that same experience. Then Lazarus got a hands-on miracle that just kind of seals some things for people. I'm sorry.
No, amen. Good. No, thank you. Thank you for the conversation. Thank you for the feedback. All right, let's give our 3 points for today. Let's recap our 3 points from last week, and then we do appreciate you for engaging and adding to the conversation. So we said that transformation leaders operate out of a new thing that God is doing. Remember that there is something new resting on the inside of you. You have innovation and creativity in you. Let it flow. Don't allow, let it flow. When I was thinking about what Overseer said today, I just love the creativity. Got a picture to see some people cars on Sunday. It was so phenomenal. So allow that new thing, allow that innovation, that creativity that's in you. One of the things the Lord said to me was, let the famine flame you. So let this season of famine be the flame that stir up gifts and callings inside of you that you didn't even know existed. And then transformation leaders have an eternal focus on the inside of you. We're not moved by what's temporal. We understand that God has a plan. He set the foundation for situations. He said, look, it may take 70 years, but I got a good plan towards you to give you a future and a hope, to bring you to an expected end. And that is our baseline. That is our foundation of how we move and operate. We know that God has a good plan. It is impossible for him to not have a good plan for our lives, no matter what it feels like. And then transformation leaders have a kingdom mindset. We are kingdom focused. So it doesn't always make sense, but it makes kingdom. And so sometimes we're trying to operate out of a place of it making sense, but it may not make sense because it makes a kingdom. And that is our mindset. It didn't make sense to when Jesus left, knowing he was dying, but he had a kingdom mindset, and he understood that the kingdom is about resurrection. It's about a power. It's about the revelation of a new that is coming. And then so our 3 points today is transformation leaders operate out of love. And so I'm glad that you brought that point up, Evangelist Katie. The Bible specifically put it in there, how Jesus loves him and how they love them. And so let's make that out of love. We do it because he loved us, and we do it out of the love that we have for him. And that is why, you know, we make whatever sacrifices, yield to obedience. And so when you move forward, make sure we're doing out of love. Next, transformation leaders pick up their cross, which is a representative of death. If you was not on the line on Tuesday morning, our apostle prayed that with such power and revelation. It had me praying to enjoy the cross. But our transformation leaders pick up their cross, death, and they follow him. So we don't look to live, we look to die. And not die being extinct from earth, but we look to die daily so that we can follow him. And I believe that that's what Lazarus' process was about. Lazarus, Martha saw it as decomposing, but Lazarus being prepared to follow him. He was being prepared to take up a new cross. And so transformation leaders, we pick up our cross and we get in line for death. You know, the scripture said that we are all like sheep are led to the slaughter, and that should be our mindset. How do I die? How am I slaughtered today? Holy Spirit, lead me to the place of slaughter so that I can follow him. And then lastly, transformation leaders grow, not go, but we grow through a resurrection power process. And I want you to hear it that way. When you are growing through a resurrection, it is a power within your process. It is not a weakness. Exposing Lazarus, unwrapping him, moving his stone away, allowing that decomposed smell to come out was not embarrassment. It was growth. It was a resurrection power process that was moving him forward to the plans and purpose that God has for him. So as always, we pray that you enjoy this transformational process. I'm excited about you being a transformational leader. I'm excited about the word that's over your life. I pray that you see yourself changing the trajectory of cities, communities, nations, and homes through whatever innovation and creation that God has for you. I pray that you will implement this teaching in your public life and that you will be a leader that will raise up leaders and understand and share with them your transformational process, your transformational identity, all within the same house so that God is glorified. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We give you glory and honor. Thank you for what you have downloaded in our hearts today. I thank you for change that is coming over these leaders. I thank you for them growing into their transformational identity. And I pray that they will take, Paul told Timothy, to wage a good warfare for the prophetic word that's spoken over their life. And I pray that as they see themselves as a transformational leader, they will wage a warfare knowing that they have a mandate to close a generational gap. They have an assignment from heaven resting in the womb of their scathe. In this season, you're going to lead them to their place of greatness that's locked up inside of them. And you're going to allow, you're going to use their life to shift the season, which was a season of drought, will now become a season of rain as a result of their resurrection power process that you are sending them through, growing through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, Overseer, we turn it back over to you for any other announcements or instructions on how we should proceed forward.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much. Such a powerful word that builds the spirit, man, because we must stand strong and firm in this season. And God is giving us what we need in order to do that. One of the things I do want to encourage you as it relates to your brown bag, you need to come early so you can look through it and you can see the things that are there and what they are, how they will be necessary in your worship. You will also have communion in the brown bag. And at one point, always free to take communion at home. But at some point, we are going to take it while we're in the car. And so leave your brown bag in your car, as it will build on the things that you need to always have with you when you worship. So we do encourage you to investigate the things that are being given to you, because they are given to you to enhance our worship of Brown Bag worship experience under the wonderful sky and under the heavens. And it is an open heaven. And so we do thank you, and we encourage you to get there early so that you can get a good space. In Jesus' name, that's it. Prophet.
Amen. Well, God bless you all. For those of you all who would be on location, look forward to being part of the worship experience remotely. And we encourage you to, as Overseer said, to just guidelines, follow those guidelines and instructions, and enjoy the innovation, enjoy the creativity that God is doing for such a time as this, through us individually and collectively. Be those transformational leaders. Step up, volunteer, and be a part of what God is doing. Let the creativity of God flow out of you in this season. Let this famine flame you, and I pray that you would discover something about you that you didn't even know exists. God bless you. Love you. Have a blessed night.
Amen.